Hello, welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Monisa, daughter of Persephone. This week, it's time for a bonus episode. We're going to catch up on all the lightning bolt questions and talk about some fan theories that everyone has sent us in. All right, so we have a special guest joining us, our friend Vel. Vel is a huge PJO and House of, not House of, I always want to read it as House of O. That doesn't make any sense.
I love
House
it.
Of Olympus. House of Olympus, you know, okay. Well, Vel is a big PJO and Heroes of Olympus fan and has been telling me how she'd be totally down to have to be on an episode, so we had to have her. So we're excited we finally get to do this.
Yay. Yeah. I really am so, like, weirdly excited to be on here. I think it's just, like, my background in radio, and then, I don't know, no one's invited me to be on their podcast. I wonder what that means.
It's very rude. That's what it is.
It hurts, really. I think, well, when Monisa told me that you guys were going to do the podcast, I was immediately excited. I'm like, oh, I have a cool podcast friend. But especially the fact that it's a Percy Jackson related podcast is just amazing. This is a series that I loved kind of as soon as it came out. I remember getting the book in hardcover and then like eagerly awaiting every single one that came out. And during the pandemic, finally got to finish Heroes of Olympus, as I'm sure many other people who wanted to go back to their, like, classic kids books did. And forced my brother to love it, too. This series means a lot to me, so I was, like, that nerdy kid that was just deeply obsessive about the Greek gods and goddesses, and I was, like, my, like, weekend activity would be going on this website that, like, had all of their, like, jobs and tasks in the grand mythos. I have, like, several books of mythology. I think it sounds like I know more than I do, but a lot of it is just, like, this is my comfort food info. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not relatable at all for either of us, you know?
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah, crazy. Weird that we're friends.
I know, weird. It's also extra fun because Vel is extremely, like, I would say overly supportive of the podcast. So she'll introduce me to adult strangers as this
like
is
at
my
the club.
Friend. Yeah.
This at the is club. My yeah, that is exactly podcast. It. It started off as a joke, but now that you guys are pretty popular, I'm like, this is actually my friend that podcasts. And I think it's just hilarious and wonderful. And, you know, talking about your passions is a good thing. So anyone who's listening, do that more often.
It's very sweet. I will say it is mortifying to look at, like, an adult man I've never met in my life and to have to explain to him that I do a PJO podcast.
And when they're like, what's Percy Jackson? I know. And it's like, I don't want to go there.
You know, it's a green light, red light situation. I think that's a good tell of, like, do you like Percy Jackson? Friend, you know, like, or love interest. It makes it easy. Those connections are built.
So true.
All right, Val, we have to ask you this. Who is your godly parent?
Yeah. So this is just, like, my general debate in my head of, like, what am I leaning towards? I always want to say I'm a daughter of Hermes because I like to travel. I
she
like
likes
his
to
general
steal.
Vibe. I like to steal things.
Do crimes.
be gay, do crimes. That's like the definition of me, I think. He has the best stories. Like, he's in everyone's shit all of the time. And I love that. But probably just like, and Monisa knows this very well, I'm probably a daughter of Dionysus. I'm always down to party.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, it's not the best answer because, like, Bacchanalia, not really the best thing to continue into the 21st century. But, you know, we're just dealing in fun over here.
Fun, wine, you know, beautiful people, a cult. Exactly. We love it all.
A cult, yeah. Don't know if I've met anyone that says Dionysus.
Me
as their
either.
Parent. I'm gonna own it. There's probably a lot out there. They're just like, I don't want to admit it.
Right. It's like alcoholism.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know, you need someone who's just in your corner, hyping everyone up. Like, that was his whole thing. You know, it's worse because, like, in the books, the actual worst man.
He's very funny, though, at least.
Nobody likes him. I have to say, is it Jason Mantzoukas that's playing him?
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, my God.
That was, like, my big... I felt like we won, you know, as a collective we. That yes. was something that I was rooting for so long.
I didn't know I wanted it until it was presented to
Same.
Me.
Same.
Yeah. No. And I think that he's playing it as, like, you know what? Yeah, Jason Mantzoukas can be my dad. Like, we'll just deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. So I got a bunch of email questions, email theories. I know that Erin got some on social media as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the theories because I think they're just very interesting to talk about and kind of dive into. And we're going to try to see how many questions we can fit in because we got a lot of them. And they're all really good questions. Some of them are very fun. So why don't we start off with theories? Erin, do you want to read one of them and we can talk about it?
Yes, I would love to. I can start us off with one of the ones that we got on social media. So this one was from Lauren, and I loved this one. So they emailed after listening to our episode where we were like, why are Ella and Tyson dating? Please stop, Rick. Yeah. And they said that they work with kids on the autism spectrum and has always seen both of these characters as being neurodiverse, and like that kind of changes their view of that relationship as being really cute and beautiful, and like showing neurodiverse people finding love. And I loved that take. It makes me like Tyson and Ella much more than it feeling like Rick just trying to force people together. And I definitely read Ella as neurodiverse, and I like that take of Tyson. I hadn't thought of that before.
That makes me kind of feel like an asshole for just being like so mean. I was like, ew. They're children.
Really nice. Right. I know. Lauren was like, it's my take. I thought you all would appreciate it. So like at least, yeah, it was really nice.
That was very nice, Laura. Thank you.
I know, that's such a sweet like version of I do like that as, you know, kind of the entryway into like making the series more not just accessible but like not so ableist. Mm-hmm. But on the oppositional side, I do think it would be kind of weird for us to all be like, these Cyclops are all like people on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think of that? It's like just kind of a strange visual to be like, this is the odd one out.
Mm. Oh, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. I don't know.
With, like, we talked about this way back in the second book, how it's kind of, Tyson is kind of used as an opportunity to, you know, teach the readers about accepting diversity, because, like, Annabeth immediately is very prejudiced against Tyson and then learns mm-hmm. that he is a good person, which felt kind of icky to be, like, Cyclops equals marginalized people.
Right.
That's a little bit, yeah, yeah.
Well, and especially, I mean, it helps that it's, like, kind of in that second series, too, like, or at mm-hmm. least when Ella comes in, I can see it, like, you know, we've already had kind of, like, that diversity factor being brought in, which, at least for me, did not feel as present mm-hmm. in the characters in the first series. But, I don't know, I love this, like, I love having that as, you know, people seeing themselves in the characters, but also, like, always nervous about like the only neurodiverse people are the ones that like we've already like kind of put in this figure of like being creatures.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The ones that aren't human. Yeah.
Also not the main characters either.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which always happens to the like the prophecy girls. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just thoughts.
there's good. Like two sides to the coin. Like I think that's why it felt icky to me. Just because it was felt like a plot point that he was already putting on top of a plot point for no reason. And so that's, I mean, I also understand where Lauren's coming from too. Like,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to present it in this way, like, it's really beautiful to, like, especially, you know, young kids reading the book to see that, like, if they identify with anyone or anything like that, it's nice to that they got love too, you know? Especially since apparently every single person has to date someone. Like,
oh, yeah. Young adult fiction requires it. We will never be free.
No.
No, I do. I really appreciate, like, at least having that as a just a nice connection, because there really aren't any other, like, you know, like all of the heroes are like neurodiverse, just like mm-hmm. being that being a demigod means that everyone has ADHD. But I do like the idea, especially for Ella, because she has like, I don't know, she's just such an interesting character. Mm-hmm. But having that like additional like neurodiverse background for her too is really cool.
Yeah, I think that I'm like, yes to Lauren's read of it. And I've seen that. I've also seen that read of it online before. So it's not like just, yeah. But no to Rick making the, a lot of like the monster creatures, the ones that show more neurodiversity, which like, yes, they all also have ADHD, but sometimes that's not mentioned as much. And especially in Heroes of Olympus, it like,
no, it doesn't come.
We kind of forget that right. They all have ADHD.
The only one who really does and shows it constantly is Leo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess on the show, I was just reading an article about this, but they're going to like bring it up to the forefront a bit more, cool. Which will be really nice. Like, I don't know. Cause it's just such a like, especially for students that struggle in classrooms, I think it's really nice to have that, like, yes, of course, this person is going to struggle and, like, want to run away, which is what most of the demigod kids do anyways. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be, hopefully they'll lean into it a bit more with the series or the TV show as well.
I hope so, too. It'll be really fun to watch. And I know a lot of kids started reading those books because they really identified with that part of Percy as well. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be like, well, it's because I'm a demigod. And I love that for kids to be able to have that imagination. Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of the, like, what we want to see in the show, I got an email from a different Aaron.
Oh.
And I really loved the way...
Are we going to have to fight over...
Who is the alpha Aaron? <I'm> so free. I really loved the way that they described Aphrodite, and so I just like copied and pasted. I'm going to read it to you guys, and I would like to hear your thoughts too. So in one of the episodes, you talked about who you think would be a good person for Aphrodite for the show. My idea that I wanted to share was, what if they cast multiple people? Every time the camera changes angles or shows Aphrodite again, it's a new person, male, female, alike, because let's be real, Percy's bi. Since he's 14, he doesn't have a true idea of his ideal beauty, and Aphrodite is supposed to change for every person. This would allow many examples of quote-unquote true beauty. But here's my favorite part. They all share one physical trait with Annabeth, whether it be eye color, hairstyle, color, skin color, etc. And that's because, like he said, her smile reminded him of, like, Aphrodite's smile reminded him of Annabeth, even though he did not unpack that at the time. And I really liked that idea. I thought it would be, I mean, to make them kind of look similar to Annabeth would be a bit difficult just because they don't have that much control over people's faces, like real people's faces. Mm-hmm. If it was an animated show, it'd be really easy to like copy and paste like an eye, the same eye and the same mm-hmm. mouth. But I really liked that idea because I was thinking somewhat like they should have someone who's like gender fluid and just one person, and then that would be for Percy and what Percy sees. And that's, I think, what we talked about on the show. But the idea of, like, you don't know what your ideal beauty is at 14, and it's changing. I don't think you know even when you're older.
Yeah.
So
definitely not. Yeah.
Having it change every time, like, Percy blinks would be... It'd be kind of funny, because, like, Aphrodite turns into a guy, and Percy learns something about himself.
I mean, Aphrodite literally looked like Annabeth, and he was like, I don't know what that means. So he probably right? wouldn't learn anything.
That's true.
I love this. I love this so much. Aaron, like, Aaron here, and then also Aaron out there in the ether. My face, like, just crinkled into itself. Yeah. Just, like, how, like, I think this is such a cute idea. And I think it's possible with like the physical trait being shared with Annabeth, but this is also part of my like make Aphrodite black. Like yeah. that is my like goal for the show. And then like if they expand to Heroes of Olympus, I think that would be like maybe the one part where I'm like, yeah, she can be white when she's in Antebellum South, maybe. Because yeah. like yeah, that costuming yeah. is bizarre. But it would also be really cool, like when she is doing that shifting in that scene, like if she's going between like her like black self and then a white self and still being like similar looking. I don't know. I really love this idea. And I like the idea of it always, like, being connected to Annabeth, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sweet. It's just the sweetest theory.
It's so very good. Pure, and I love the creativity behind it, because it's the idea that love is so different for each person. You definitely, Val, I forgot that weird bit of the, like, southern whatever, and then Hazel's in the background just glaring the entire time.
Yeah. Like, I can, they could just lean into it, you know, like, that'll just be the goal for me, is, like, lean into it. Make Aphrodite black, and especially if it's, like, Percy who's interacting with her the most, like, it would make sense for her to be black, like, looking like Annabeth.
Yeah.
But I love this theory. It's so cute.
I'm also curious if they're, because, like, in the book, Percy talks to her one-on-one in the limo, and I'm curious if they're going to show that she changes for other people, like, have her change when someone else walks in. Like, if, like, Grover walks in, or, like, Grover walks by and he sees her and she turns into, like, looks more like a wood nymph.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Or, like, Artemis for some reason.
Grover has a weird thing for Artemis.
Come on. Everyone has a weird thing for Artemis.
That is true.
Let's lean into that, too. No, I think that would be... Okay, the way that I'm thinking of it, you know Spy Kids? Like, the movie Spy Kids?
Yes,
of course.
Do you remember that, like, opening scene when they're, like, giving the spy history? And the mom is, like, changing costumes between, I don't know, like, she has red hair in one scene and then it's, like,
oh, yeah.
Hair. Like, I think that would be, and it's just, like, people passing by as she's, like, changing these costumes. Like, that would be the great way to do it, where it's just, like, people are looking at her and it's...
Something different, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious, like, just change the wig. She's like, oh, right. Really into red hair.
So you're like, oh my god, who is that?
I like the idea of, like, changing costumes, too, because I don't know, I've never made a film before. I don't know, well, that's a lie, I made movies when I was 12, but I've never made a real film before.
Lies.
And I made true art with my Harry Potter parodies.
Right.
But I don't know how feasible it is to have a bunch of different actors and if people would be confused, but I like the idea too of, like, changing their style, like having the same actor, you know, suddenly she could appear in, like, with Annabeth's necklace on and Percy's like, what does that mean? I don't know. Right.
That boy is so clueless. Just remembering that part of the series, I'm like, aw, you dummy.
It took two so different cute. Women just being like, we both like you, and then Rachel being like, I don't like you anymore, you should date Annabeth.
She was Rachel's really, like, pulling it for the team.
Honestly, without her, nothing would have happened.
Right.
She's literally like, I'm swearing off romance forever. Please go ask Annabeth out.
He's like, I don't know why Annabeth's mad at me. And Rachel's like, I will kill you right now.
I'm not even the Oracle yet, and I know.
Right. Hilarious, like, how many people in my life that are actually like that,
though. I have been someone like that, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%.
You're like, I'm actually talking about you, Mona.
Right.
Oops.
Okay. Do you want to do another theory?
Let's do a quick question.
Okay. Let's pick one. Oh, okay. This one segues well, because we were talking about Rachel. This one I got on Instagram from Thass. Would you rather be a demigod with no powers or a mortal with prophetic powers?
So demigod with no powers, I would have, you know, mommy and or daddy issues, which is not great.
Yeah.
And I have no powers. But I get to go to camp, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, like, you know... dyslexic, and I am I good at fighting, at least? Because, you know,
I don't know,
no powers.
You're
that's
a demigod,
fine.
So, like, you're at least a little good at fighting.
The monsters are attracted to me, which is not fun,
but not as much. Remember, it's only the more powerful ones
that's
they like,
true,
so you
right.
don't smell as bad.
I honestly don't want anything to do with prophecy / seeing into the future. Feel like it would stress me out a lot, especially if I can't specifically
more stress.
Especially if I can't, like, decipher what I'm seeing and everything's in riddles. Like, I already can't, I hate solving riddles. Like, it makes me feel insane. And suddenly, like, I'm trying to decide what I want to have for breakfast and I see, like, the world ending. But what does it mean? It's like, does it mean that if I have waffles, the world is going to end? So I think I'd choose demigods with no powers.
Interesting. Erin, what would you choose?
I'm going to go the opposite, actually, and I didn't think about this before, but it just, hearing the question aloud, I want to be special.
Also, Erin likes seeing, she's like, when we were younger, she'd always be like, I want to read people's minds, I want to know the future.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, why would you want to harm yourself like
You're
that?
You're like, I want to be Cassandra.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Maybe not that far.
Not that far.
But she's my favorite myth before.
Yeah, that is true.
Great read on me. You know, I don't want to read people's minds the same way I did when I was, like, 15, because that was anxiety, thinking everyone thought things about me. But I would want to be special.
You've read enough YA books.
Right.
Yeah. Demigod with no powers, I'm not special. Mortal with prophetic powers, maybe I could become the Oracle. That, actually, I don't think I'd want to do that. But I could. I also think prophecy would be cool. I know you said it would cause you stress, but I think I like the same thing with riddles. I also don't like when I'm given riddles, but I like when I know, when I give the riddles. Like, I like knowing the answer and watching other people struggle. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But so, Rachel doesn't know the answer.
But I could just have my own interpretation and mess with people. I could just be like, you shouldn't eat that. And they'd all be like, oh no, what's it going to cause?
You don't lie. You just want to have glowing eyes and, like, be able to make it windy.
That's true. Yeah, that's the most, the glowing eyes is the most important part.
Right.
Would it shatter my glasses?
Probably. Have to buy new glasses every time?
Have to take them just off, like, for my prophecies.
Very Matrix of you.
Yeah. Right.
What do you think, Belle?
I was going back and forth. I think I've decided on demigod with no powers. The only way I would be immortal with prophetic powers is, like, if it's a That's So Raven situation.
Ooh.
You know, where it's like, maybe it'll stop me, but maybe it's just shenanigans. You know, like, I don't think I can do, like, crazy intense prophetic powers, but it's like, hey, at some point someone's going to slip in water. That'll be weird. Let's figure out how we got there. You know, like, but the demigod with no powers is, like, I learn how to sword fight, and I think that that's, like, essential. Also, I don't know, I grew up with a family with, like, a lot of kids, so I think it would just be fun to, like, have an extension of that. Yeah. And the parent issues,
You and your siblings can go through
new?
Again.
Yeah. Maybe your godly parent would be, like, actually doing you a favor by giving you no powers, because you don't have to risk your life, right? You just can just live your life.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing us, because we, like, being a demigod with no powers, and being like, well, I'm safe now. Somehow we end up on every single quest.
Right. Yeah. I'd just be like, I'm there to, like, keep everyone protected by not smelling like anything.
They send you out as bait all the time. They're like, oh, well, the monsters won't follow you, so you can go in and get this stuff for us.
Yeah. I'm the equivalent of, like, baking soda on a trip.
So, going off of our mommy and daddy issues, Shrithika sent us an email and asked us, would you rather kill Zeus or Hera?
Zeus.
Yeah, I think Zeus for me. Man makes a lot of bad decisions.
I know, Zeus. I do, I wish I could do, like, a 1-2 where I can put Zeus in death and then Hera in therapy. Like, honey, why didn't you leave him for years? Like, he damaged you so badly.
It would be necessary. I don't know. Like, for Hera, I think just because I have, like, the background knowledge outside of the books, too, I'm like, my lady went through so much, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, she never wins. So, of course, all she does is, like, snipe at people randomly and, like, make everything difficult for all the demigods. But I don't know. Zeus is just so chaotic all of the time. And I feel like even his presence would make everything, like, him leaving the story would be a lot easier.
Honestly, like, you would have so many less gods, because like half of them are his children, and true. Also just like, he should be in jail, like he's a rapist, like come on.
Right, a rapist, like a liar. I don't know, it would also be like, at what point do I kill Zeus, right? Is it like when he's like done something terrible to me, like,
no, in the present day, on site,
like, just immediate death.
Yeah, probably.
Also,
I'm glad that was an easy answer.
That was a really easy answer. Yeah. I have to put it in here that Moksha Shrithika sent us an email saying that you were a fan, so we just wanted to shout you out if you're listening. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Cute.
All right. I will pull up one of the other theories that we got. I wrote like one sentence on this, so I have to actually open the Instagram message. So Ev sent us that they think that Jason is, so they've already sent messages about Jason not being into girls, but they sent even more. There's textual and thematic evidence. I loved it. It was like, I got a research paper. It was beautiful. But about Jason's whole internal struggle of feeling trapped by the expectations put on him, being molded by a certain way as thematically queer. Also, and they read Jason as aromantic. There's a lot in this text. So the main place that they point to for reading Jason as aromantic is the scene with Cupid. They said that Cupid would hate aromantic people and would absolutely be down to trick them and force them into thinking they're in love. And Cupid shoots arrows at Jason, and it like shows this image of Piper and is like, oh, you're in love, but are you? And this person also really likes Jason and Leo as well, has mentioned that as well. But I loved this read as Jason not being into girls and potentially also being not into any kind of relationship. I thought that was super interesting.
Honestly, Jason not being in a relationship and just like allowing himself to develop a personality would have done wonders.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sick burn, Monica. Thank you.
Belle, have you read Trials of Apollo?
I haven't yet. It's on it's in my list of things to do. Yeah.
Because Manasa hasn't either. I'm like the only one.
So I think I'm saying a lot about Jason and Piper and Leo and like all of them that is later something happens in Trials of Apollo, because everyone laughs at me a little bit when I say things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, I hope there's, like, something dramatic that happens. It's not just, like, a little side plot. Mm-hmm. But not a big Jason fan. I think he's more fun to read as a himbo. And I think it's also more fun to read. It would have been more fun to read him if he hadn't been so confused with having to try to immediately get into a relationship while he's trying to recover his memories.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that he has a the Leo Jason thing is hilarious, because I mean, he does have a better relationship with Leo, I will say that, but I am team Jason should stay single.
Yeah. I like the reading of Jason as aromantic, or at the baseline, you know, not into girls, because him and Piper feel so forced, and I think we've focused on it feeling forced for Piper. And we're like, Piper's definitely queer. But Jason also, it feels really forced from his perspective, especially in that scene with Cupid, where Cupid is like, oh, you're in love, or are you? And he's like, what's that supposed to mean?
Right.
And that definitely feels really forced, so I like that read. It makes Jason much more interesting than what's in the text.
Right.
Like, Rick did Jason dirty.
I think it's just one of those, like, issues of Jason, like, from our, like, context of, like, being American, also, I think, and, like, just having this, like, of course this guy is gonna, like, try and be the main character. It's so boring, like, overdone. And, I mean, just generally my, like, issue with Heroes of Olympus, it's, like, what I loved about it, too, but also one of the struggles is that there's so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the amount of time that everyone gets to develop is just, like, inches. And there's a lot more, like, compelling stories in there that's, like, with Hazel, who is just, I love that girl. But Jason does not get the same type of storyline. Like, his thing is, like, I've been in charge my whole life and I've been expected to be perfect my whole life. And I think that's where it becomes just like, ugh, boring. Mm-hmm. I definitely see him as being aromantic. I always thought that he was like closeted, but then also like wasn't really given the space to do anything with that information because mm-hmm. like, I don't know, like the Jupiter camp was so, I don't know, just like militant, and I can't really imagine it being much more accepting. At least it didn't feel like that in the books. I mean, like even with Nico, like he knew for so long and there was not really any exploration of his sexuality until like the last book, really. Or at least that's what it felt like to me. So I don't mm-hmm. know. I'm here for Jason being gay mm-hmm. and just like mm-hmm. perfectionist child that wasn't able to do anything with that.
I mean, Aaron and I read the Cupid scene as Jason when Nico gets outed. Jason being like, gay people exist? Like, yeah. That's crazy. Because that's how right. he responds to it, too. So, like, he definitely was not given the space to even understand that that was a thing until he was, like, you know, thrust information and then was immediately supportive, which was lovely. You know, I'm glad that he was. That would have been a real downfall for his character already. Right.
Yeah. He's like, wait, that's an option?
No, exactly. Like, I can definitely see him, you know, expanding on that in the after whatever. And so I don't know. Jason's just, I have a lot more sympathy for him. I think maybe because I, like, liked his group dynamic and that he was mm-hmm. more like, I just want to be, like, the nice himbo guy to everyone. Yeah. Like, yeah. like, I am non-threatening is this whole deal.
I know. All right. Why don't we do a quick question before we go into this last theory that I really want us to talk about? But if you had to physically fight one of the seven, including Reyna and Nika, without weapons or powers, who would you pick? Megan sent this from Monstrous Women.
Okay. If I had to fight one of them, Piper. Sorry, Piper.
Piper could charm speak you, though.
But I think I could resist.
This is the hubris. You're like, I am anti-charm.
The hubris is kicking in again. I just physically fight. She doesn't have as much training.
That's true.
True.
Whereas the others, a lot of them have, like, physical powers.
Mm. That is why I would choose Leo. Is that Leo?
The fire.
Skinny boy.
I mean, not really, though. I don't know. I don't think he'd be able to fight me.
Val's hubris is like, I could withstand fire.
I could. I got, you know.
I'm fireproof, actually.
I'm fireproof. I think, like, I would trip him, and that would be it. Like, mm-hmm. he'd be done. I don't think he could do much more than that, honestly.
I do think I honestly think Leo would be like my other answer because I think I could seduce him.
He's a child.
His weakness is women. His weakness is women.
That's true.
So I mean, like, you know, an adult version of him. I could just be like, wink at him and he'd be like, oh my gosh, are you my girlfriend now? And I'd be like, I'm gonna beat you up.
He'd say thank you.
Yeah, he'd say thank you.
Oh, man. I mean, I can't laugh too hard because I was thinking Frank because he's...
What? The Animorph?
Yeah, I could probably bully.
It's true.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I mean, okay, look, as a collective group, like, clearly without any weapons or powers, we do not have any formal training. We can't go up against the children of gods, but I think I could break their psyche, so I can't do that. So I'd go for the soft one, and I would just bully him. I'd probably bully him into just changing into something stupid, because he clearly gets a little bit, when he gets emotional, his animal morphing skills turn quite stupid. Maybe get him to be, like, some kind of fish, or, like,
a turn him into, like, a lizard.
Yeah.
Smack him. A fly might be difficult, because then you'd have to catch him.
That is true. He'd just, like, be a fruit fly that I can never kill and haunts my house.
That is so funny.
Like a medium. He needs to be like a rabbit. Like a nice medium size, not too fat.
What, so I can kick him? Yeah.
I really can imagine that Frank would, like, I mean, that poor boy, his insecurities are, like, taller than he is.
Exactly. Oh. Even after his glow up. So I think I could bring him down with my words.
So this is coming down to is we'll just be mean to them.
We can be mean to some 16-year-olds and break them apart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I had plenty of practice when I was actually 16.
I feel like even Piper, like, I could just be like, Jason's actually not that into you. Just break her apart. Yeah.
I mean, it's so true.
Yeah. I cannot fight for my life, so I am just going to use my words.
I love that, like, okay, so the examples on this question were Reyna and Nico, and I'm like, absolutely not. I would not even, like, consider fighting either of them.
Those, yeah, that's the, those are, I think, the worst to fight would probably be Percy, but maybe that's just because I love him so much. But Nico and Reyna are, like, the top, like, the, if I have a list of who I'd fight, they're, like, at the bottom because I would not fight them.
Yeah. Definitely not Reyna. She's, like, both logical and calculating and smart, and she's a good fighter. Like, horrible combination for me. Can't even bully her about anything. Yeah, like, and she's, like...
There's nothing wrong with her.
Parader, too. Like, she's got status. Nico, like, maybe if I, like, buy him some really cool, like, you know, black nail polish from Claire's, I could, like, get him on my side. But that's, like, bribery. That's not fighting. I couldn't fight him.
No, I would feel so bad if I fought him.
I know.
Right?
But apparently I don't feel bad about bullying Frank.
It's because Frank, like, I know Frank will be okay, right? Like,
yeah.
He's solid. He's set.
Yeah. Yeah. Nico, we worry about him.
Oh, yeah. Like, you need tea. You need love. Here's a blanket. I was thinking about Annabeth as an option, but I'm still like, I forgot that she is, like, basically in charge at the camp. Like, she has so much knowledge.
Yeah. She would bully me. Like, it would be reversed. She'd make me feel so bad about myself.
She would. I fully believe that, actually.
Taken down by a 16-year-old. You know. All right, so this theory that I got sent in by Alex was really fun, and it's kind of goes into Aaron and I at the end of... At the end. But... In the beginning of House of Hades, talked about maybe Annabeth having a different perspective of Luke even after he died than Percy, and being able to see it for the first time because now we get her perspective. And one of the things that she brought up was, like, she thinks that, like, Kelly was the reason that Luke, you know, committed all the genocide. Like, he wouldn't have done that if, like, all those monsters weren't, like, charm speaking him into doing it. And we obviously know from Percy's point of view, Luke was, like, ecstatic about, like, murder. Getting powder, powder, getting power, getting some powder, getting power and becoming powerful and overthrowing the Olympians. So this question from Alex or theory is, let's go ahead and say Luke didn't die at the end of PGO and he got eternal punishment, or the gods put him on trial for his crimes or whatever. The main thing is just that he's alive for now. Do you think Percy and Annabeth's relationship would last, or would they break up?
Ooh.
Because they don't talk about Luke. The big thing is that they never talk about Luke. They don't discuss, like, if he's a bad person or not. Percy's kind of back and forth because he's, like, the main source of his trauma. But Annabeth definitely was, like, loved him a lot. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks that they might have broken up and then gotten back together.
Yeah.
Like, during his trial, where Annabeth would be like, we should forgive him. And Percy would be like, all of our friends are dead because of him.
Yeah. I think it would have definitely caused them issues. Like, they would have had to work through that a lot. And honestly, I think Annabeth would have had to change her mind. I hate making women change their minds, but, like...
But she was wrong, so...
She's wrong. She would at least need to acknowledge that Luke has responsibility, like, for their relationship to work, and acknowledge the fact how much Luke terrorized Percy specifically, too. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, but when they break up, the purse of a shipper in me physically hurts.
I think they would. I think, at least, like, for a time.
Yeah.
I can imagine, especially, like, that would have been a really interesting place to start with Heroes of Olympus if, like, they had broken up at the end of the series, even though, like, I would, my, like, when I originally read the books, I'd be so upset if they broke up in between. But I don't know. I can't imagine Annabeth, like, not being stubborn about this. Or, like, especially about Luke, just because, like, they had such a long relationship, and, like, truly she knew him longer than she knew Percy at that point, too. And, like, that's a really hard place to come from. I can imagine her making a lot of, like, graces, and then eventually having to, like, learn more about what actually happened before coming back. I don't see it being, like, permanently broken up, though.
No. I feel like, yeah, like Erin said, she'd have to change her mind, but it would require maybe, like, watching him on trial and seeing all the things he had to say. Because then also, a lot of his redemption comes from the fact that he dies to save, like, them all, low-key.
Mm-hmm.
And so his redemption is like, well, he made the ultimate sacrifice. And in this situation, he doesn't. He's still alive. So it takes away that, like, hero part of him. And I think it'd be easier for her to come to that conclusion. It would just take a bit of time, and she'd have to, like, I don't even know if they would have gotten together in the same way that they had if Luke was still alive, because she'd be like, well, I'm focused on, like, helping my friend on trial. And Percy would be like, what the heck is wrong with you?
Right.
Yeah. I even think, like, in canon, we've talked about, like, I don't think their endgame, but I also think, like, when they're older, they definitely need to have a conversation about Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Need to, like, you know, process. Annabeth needs to process that, at least in her own narration and, like, House of Hades, how she's like, Luke was actually a victim. I'm like, you need to work through that, Annabeth. That's a good theory.
Mm-hmm.
Or theory question. Prompting question.
Prompting question. I mean, okay, so the last one is from an email that every time I got an email from them, I would just have that stupid TikTok song stuck in my head. It's from Chrissy Wake Up, and they asked, what happens to gender-fluid people who want to join the Hunters?
Mm-hmm. They should be able to join.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that she put that song in with this question.
That's their name on email. I was like, I don't know what else to call them.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, whoever has that email, you are hilarious. You won. amazing. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because, like, the Hunters, there's, like, an age limit to when they can join. And I think a big part of that is, like, it's accepting womanhood, or, like, you know, like, going into those expectations, and, like, that's why it has to be, like, young girls are the Hunters. Yeah, I think it would make sense, because, like, a big part of that is you don't want to conform to society's expectations of, like, being a cis woman. And so, like, I imagine a gender fluid person would fit right in of that, like, point of confusion. Yeah. And plus, like, Artemis is cool, so I'm sure she would be like,
exactly.
Yes, all of these ladies, or all of these non-gender-specific people.
Yeah, they have to be very inclusive. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Erin.
Oh, I was going to say, I think especially under Talia's leadership in the Hunters, definitely inclusive. Zoe was a little more, like, man-hating and essentializing of gender. Not to speak ill of the dead, sorry, Zoe. But, no, she was a little more old-fashioned, and the way it was written in the third book was a little more like, no boys allowed. No one allowed, unless you're a girl. And I think that Talia would open it up to non-cis men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, Talia's a punk, so, like, I'm sure she'd be cool with it, yeah.
She's edgy.
I love the idea that the Hunters had to, like, sit down and rebrand, because they're like, hey, we need to, like, talk about how we're not being super inclusive. Like, yeah, we can hate straight men, like,
a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant comes
like a module they have to all click through. Right.
There's a little presentation and a quiz after.
Right. for all of our younger listeners, these are the fun things you get to look to if you work at a corporation in adulthood.
Woo! Even a nonprofit, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent the summer working for a company that helps make them, so we're all included.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It comes full circle.
All full circle. I was also in a nonprofit where we had to watch a lot of it, so, you know, it always... Mm-hmm. comes back. But yeah, I would like to think that they're very inclusive now, but I have a feeling they might have been a bit turfy in their history.
Yeah.
Oh, so turfy under Zoe.
Yeah.
She just gives me those vibes. Not to speak ill of the dead, but she gave me those vibes.
I love the idea of, like, Zoe is just, like, watching or, like, listening to this podcast in, like, the fictional realm where we all exist in the same space. She's just like, how dare they?
Well, it's especially funny because I'm imagining, like, we are existing in the same space and, like, openly just being like, I would kill Zeus on sight.
And then we'd immediately be turned into skunks.
I know.
Like, that's his whole deal.
So that's irritating.
That's why I didn't say Hera, you know? I still gotta respect the lady.
At least she'd come in and save me, you know?
Yeah, she'd be like, maybe wow. That's why we're still here, is because we only speak ill of one at a time.
Yeah. That is true. Though, anytime we try to start hating on Hera, we're like, but isn't the real problem Zeus?
It's true. It's true.
True. This Rick definitely writes Hera in much more of a negative light than some other interpretations. I feel like Zeus is always in a negative light, though, no matter where you're reading about
him. Oh, yeah. I mean, the OG script doesn't give him a lot of wiggle room, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-mm. I mean, to be fair, Poseidon and Apollo and all of them are, like, quite horrendous. The men did not, you know... They did a lot of crimes, but at least Rick kind of tries to redeem them here by making, like, them dads and stuff.
He's like, everyone's dad's terrible, right? Right? Yeah.
I'm like, Rick, do you need to talk to someone? Where is this coming from?
So my buddy Anne sent us an question. What do you think the Seven would see if they all heard the sirens?
So it shows you, like, your desire, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think we should also throw Nico in there, because, honestly, yeah. I know Nico better than... I personally know Nico better than Jason, so...
This reminds me of, like, the mirror in Harry Potter, that mirror that shows you what you want. That's kind of what I'm thinking of, too.
Yeah, like, Percy's is just, like, he's with Annabeth... And they're, like, in New Rome, and they've got and thousands of children. Yeah.
Sally better be there.
Yeah, Sally's
there. You have to
Sally's
talk to
there.
Percy if Sally's not there.
My respect. Siren shows Sally. Annabeth is, like, she's... I mean, you already know what Annabeth's was, except we can remove Luke, because...
Wait,
know.
Doesn't it show their fatal flaw, too, or something? Like, they learn their fatal
they
flaw.
They hear their fatal flaw. No, do they learn their fatal flaw, too?
I think so.
How did they hear it, and then they just accidentally...
Because it tempts them with something. But I think the whole thing is that it tempts them with what their fatal, like, a version of their fatal flaw is.
So Percy's...
Like, how Annabeth sees, like, the perfect world that she created, and she fixed everyone. And, like, Percy would see all the people he loves...
Oh, yeah.
...all together, and...
Just, like, safe.
Yeah.
Safe. Mm-hmm.
Nico... In this version of, like, Heroes of Olympus, he probably see Bianca.
Aww.
And what his fatal flaw is, like, revenge, right? Because he's a child of Hades.
Yeah. I feel like isolating himself, too, is one.
Yeah, so maybe
I feel
he...
like he'd see himself not isolated from
I just see him, like, in a campfire with everyone, you know, just, like,
and
hanging
he's
out,
being,
you
like,
know?
Accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason, I have no idea. He
I
would
feel like
be
see himself living a really average life.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to really not want to be a hero. He just wants to be a dude.
Yeah,
he just wants to chill. Yeah. I like. Yeah,
Leo just... is in a committed relationship. I think Leo would also see his mom and he would, like, run his shop. But most importantly, he would be in a committed relationship.
Yeah,
Frank would be. With Hazel.
I guess.
And
Maybe in like a trusted leader, because a lot of Frank's is like he doesn't trust himself.
Yeah, that's true. Believe.
So maybe in like a leadership role or something, and I don't know.
And then Hazel would be like, maybe her mom would be there, yeah, who like really accepts and loves her and doesn't think she's a burden. Piper's would be that she, I mean, in this version, I've heard that she's different in Trials of Apollo, but in this version, she's, like, with Jason, and they're, like, she's very confident in their relationship, and her dad gives her a lot of attention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, her dad sucks. I always forget about him.
He's okay. Yeah. I think it's just, like, the, I don't know, the native in me is like, I understand why her dad was trying to be busy, but it's definitely, like, I don't know. He doesn't suck. There's worse dads out there, especially in this series.
True.
Yeah, I can imagine with Piper it is just, like, I don't know, being at home with her dad for, like, a long amount of time, and, like, kind of every, like, she's not as connected, I think, to everyone in the same way that, like, Nico would be, where he, like, wants to have a bunch of people. Like, I think for Piper, it would be, like, I just want to be home. And same thing for Hazel. Like, I can see Hazel's being, like, I just want to be in one place for, like, a long amount of time. Because I think that's what was really, like, felt like it was missing for her.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
That is really sad.
They're all forced sad to, like, be on adventures always and not see their families and...
Ugh. And then, like, as adults, we're like, oh, that's so sad. And as kids, I was like, I want to be on that adventure so bad.
Right. Well, and I just think about, like, with Percy's, too. It always gets me, that scene in Heroes of Olympus, where he's like, there's demigods growing up, like, having families and, like, going to college. Yeah. And, like, that's, like, a big part of, especially for the Greek side, that they don't see themselves as adults at all. Or, like, really, like, just having a, like, solid place where they can stay for a long time. So I can imagine Hazel, to me especially, just because she is like was stuck, like she just stuck in time, and like that was the longest that she really got to live in one spot. I mean, longer than like everyone else too, but
Ooh, I especially was thinking too with Piper, like that scene in the first in The Lost Hero when her dad actually does see her and see all the things she
and
is,
she has, and then to it gets embrace wiped away. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If like I think like being able to be with him and have him see her and for who she is and actually understand her instead of just like the girl acting out and causing trouble.
Right.
These poor kids. I feel bad for now having bullied Franks severely.
Did we do all of them?
I think we did. I think that was seven.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so beautiful. I think we should wrap up. Any questions that we didn't get to here, we're going to try to get to them as we continue with the series.
Yes. And Val, thank you for being on with us. It was so fun.
Thanks for having me. This was delightful. I love everyone's theories and questions. Like, guys, the internet is a wonderful place. So excited for all of you reading this and listening to the podcast.
It'll only get better once the TV show comes out. I'm so excited. Yeah. But yes, thank you so much for joining us with your soothing radio voice.
Truly. Oh, I'm here for it.
Truly.
All right, so next week we are going to start Blood of Olympus. I remember nothing about it, so we're going to dive into chapters 1 through 8. So join us.
I just remember there's, like, some weird stuff with Jason and his mom. Like, some trauma going on there.
Oh, fun.
And I think there's ghosts, which...
there's always ghosts.
I don't want to speak too soon, but I'm really hoping it aligns. One of our episodes releases on Halloween. Like, Monday, I think. Halloween's a Monday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really hope it's a ghosty one. Anyway.
It's going to be about Jason and his mom instead. It's going to be about trauma.
And I'm going to be like, add in spooky music. And it'll be like, Jason then started crying. Yeah. You can find us on social media at Camp Half Pod and camphalfpod@gmail.com. If you have any other theories and questions, we just kind of collect them throughout, and I'm sure we'll have another bonus finale episode after we finish the next book.
And if you are interested, you can support us on Patreon. The link is in the episode description.
Cool. Thanks for listening.
Thank
Please
you guys.
Rate and review, and shout out to Vel for chatting with us and bringing all of her amazing Percy Jackson knowledge.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.